God has a plan with this church. And, you know, God has a plan for every church. Rick Warren said it would take all kinds of churches to reach all kinds of people. So, praise God for this church here in Century City. Guys, it's a privilege to be here. And I feel part of the family. And, it's a special day to be here. Yes, let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you for Yaku and for Lee and for the family. And God, thank you that you have put them here. Thank you, God, for the stirring in the spirit that is in their hearts. And thank you for them stirring the spiritual waters of this church and of this area in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you this morning that you are alive, that you are, and that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, God. And we choose today again, God, that you reward those who diligently seek you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your presence in this place, God. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in this place. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you will open our ears and our hearts and our minds, that we would be able to receive the word that is able to penetrate our hearts, that is able to do what it was sent for. For we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, amen, amen. Guys, I'm talking to you this morning, and the theme of the message is prepare the next generation. We don't live for ourselves. Rick Warren, in his book that he wrote, The Purpose-Driven Life, chapter 1, the first sentence said, whom of you can remember? It's not about you. It's about God. And it's about God putting me in a specific place so that I can touch and I can change the lives of others. God puts or replaced people in strategic positions to make a difference. If you read through the Bible, you will see that God puts people in certain places to make a difference, to make a kingdom difference. He's putting you in that law firm to make a difference. He's putting you, he puts you in a certain place to make a difference. God spoke to Noah. He said, Noah, there's a flood coming. Noah said, what is a flood, God? God is going to start rain. What is rain, God? God said, never mind. Just build the ark. You know what? He put Esther in the king's palace. She was an orphan. Are you still with me? She was an orphan. God had a plan for her life. You know, God had a plan, you know. And she thought she's going to be queen, you know. And she's going to do the spa thing all day long, you know. Manicures, pedicures. I don't know what cures you all have. You know. But one day, she had to go before the king. She had to put her life on the stake to save her people. God put Daniel in a palace. Just, you know, if you read the Old Testament, God, he just put people in strategic places. He put Daniel and his friends, you know. And one day, I don't know where Daniel was, maybe he was praying, but his other friends, you know, they had to worship this idol. And then they say to the king, King, we have the highest respect for you, but we're not going to worship this idol. We're not going to worship the statue. And the king said, no, it's okay. We just throw you into the fire and, you know, that will be the end of it. But, you know, God was with them. And as the king watched, he saw somebody with him. You know, when we follow God, when we trust God, when we cling to his word, like Yaku said, when we trust him, say with me, trust, God will come through for you. I don't know how. I don't know how. Because they throw the three friends, they thrown them into the fire. But when they were in the fire, the fourth man was there. and the fourth man protected them. And they came out, and they were not even smelling like fire. Last weekend, I had to braai. You know, my boys were a little bit, you know, they got the flu. So I had to braai, and the wood was wet. You know, wet wood. I had to blow the fire. I had to try to do something with that fire. And the next morning, I pick up that jacket. I wanted to put it on, and didn't smell good. Didn't smell good. They didn't even smell like fire. Because God is an awesome God. God uses people. Say again to the person next to you. God uses people. Okay, vir julle, julle moet praat. God uses people. God's plan is to use people. Now, Shofar's vision, you know the vision? It's to reach nations. Somebody this morning, David, you said something about nations. You know, God is a God of nations. He wants to reach the nations and generations. You know it, disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. There's the banner as well. You know, that's why we're here for, so that we will reach nations. Guys, nations are the inheritance of the Son, Jesus Christ. In Psalm 2, verse 8, the Word of God says, ask of me. Say with me, ask of me. It's God the Father speaking to the Son, and he's saying to the Son, ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Say with me, give. Ask, give. Ask, give. And the ends of the earth for your possession. I'm going to give you a few spirit principles this morning. You would be wise to dot it down. I mean, I said, who's the guys who grow spiritually in church? Is the guys who take notes in church. Hello? That's Jimenez. What's that in English? That's a secret. That's one of the secrets of growing spiritually. Don't just listen to everything. Write it down. Dot it down. So that you can go later on and you can go back in your quiet time. And you're still to take. In your quiet time, you can pray about these things. Okay. Say, God, help me with these things. I'm going to give you a few spirit principles this morning. The first spirit principle is nothing happens unless you ask. Nothing happens unless you ask. The Father says of the Son, ask of me. Ask of me. You know what? Somewhere Jesus said, when you ask, what will happen? You will receive. When you knock, somebody will open the door. And what's the third one? Seek. If you seek, you will find. Guys, we need to develop that attitude. An attitude to ask. An attitude to knock. An attitude to seek. Otherwise, things, you know what? Spiritual things don't happen if you don't ask. Spiritual things don't happen if you don't push in. Spiritual things don't just happen by themselves. If you don't ask Jesus to become the Savior of your life, if you don't ask Jesus to become Lord of your life, guess what? It's not going to happen. You must ask. You must open your mouth. And with your mouth, the Bible says, you must believe with your heart. You must confess with your mouth. Your mouth must confess something. You know what? Spiritual things just don't happen automatically. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, chapter 12, chapter 14, Paul is speaking to this church about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 13 is all about, say, love. Okay? So the atmosphere in which the gifts must happen is love. So he puts love in the middle of it. And then when he goes to chapter 14, he says, pursue love. Hey, pursue love. And desire spiritual gifts. Say with me, desire. He says, desire spiritual gifts. Guys, spiritual gifts don't happen if we don't desire them. if we don't desire them, if we don't get equipped in them, if we don't say, God, use me, and put up your hand and say, please, God, use me, then it don't happen. It says desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Especially, Paul says, wow. You know, if Paul could have his way, the church would be full with guys that can prophesy. You remember Moses gathering the 72 leaders, and there's a guy coming running from the side. He says, there's guys out in the street, they are prophesying. Please, my Lord, forbid them. Moses said, oh, that all the people of the Lord were prophets. You know, that we can move with God. Prophets know what is on God's heart. Prophets know what is on God's agenda. And spiritual principle number two is, from that scripture, is that God is a giver. God is a giver. He said, ask of me and I will give you. You know, God wants to give. He's a giver. There's that scripture in James as well. God said, if you need wisdom, what must you do? You must ask, because he gives. He's a God that gives. Guys, we need to ask. We need to desire. We need to say, God, I want to have more of you, God. God, come and increase my capacity. Hey, this is a special day, so we can do something special. Won't you stand with me? Just stand with me. Just a short exercise. And what we're going to do, you must use both your arms. And what we're going to do, we're going to do something like this. Can you do that? And then we pray, God, increase my capacity for you. Can you do that? Okay. God, increase my capacity for you. Thank you very much. You are a great, great bunch of people. Hey, we must ask God that he will increase our capacity for him. You see, our problem is God is this humongous, gigantic, big God. You know what? We don't know how big he is. But he comes and he reveals a little bit of himself to us. You know what? And sometimes we read the Bible, we think we've got everything. If you got the Bible, you've just got a little bit. We must ask God, God, increase my capacity. Increase my capacity so that I can contain more of your spirit. So that there can be more of your spirit in my life. This book was just enough so that you and I can know how to be saved. And how to live a God-fruitful life. But there's so much more. This is not all there is about God. This is the bottom line. You know what? And everything that God speaks to you and me by the Spirit, we must test it according to this book. Because what God is saying is... Okay, that wasn't willfully. That was just an accident. But everything is in line with this word. This is God's revealed will to you and me. And it's all about him. Matthew 28 verse 19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Say with me, go. Spirit principle number three, it is when you go in obedience that things start to happen. It is when people go. You know what? Sometimes we sit here at church and we ask, why don't we see the miracle? Why don't we see the stuff that the Bible is all about? You know, it's full of, you know, Jesus doing miracles, people getting healed, people getting delivered. You know, why don't we experience it in the church? Because God said, go. Jesus said, go. Go make disciples of all the nations. The church needs to be a going church. You know what? In the book of Acts, we read about a church in Jerusalem. And, you know, the one moment they were 120. I like you playing the djembe this morning. That's a good sport, djembe. But, you know, they were 120 people. The next moment they were 3,000 people. The next moment they were 5,000 people. Okay. But this church was, they were going. They were going. So, guys, it is when we go, when we obey God. You know, sometimes when you live in a flat, you just have to step over the corridor. When you live in a street, just step over the street. You know, and when, I don't know where we're going next year, let's go. But believe me, we're going. You need to join. And if they go to the, you know, if they go to the hospital, join. Because guys, it is when we go that things start happening. God is a God of generations. I don't have to tell you this. But He's a God of generations, babies, toddlers, children, teenagers, young people, seniors, elderly. What's middle-aged? Middle-aged people. Guys, every generation needs to be reached. And it is best to reach them at a young age. Hey, at a young age, tell them. You know, because at a young age, you know, their spirit is so open. And you know what? They understand kingdom principles the best. Jesus said, who's the most important in the kingdom? The little ones. They don't ask questions. They say yes. Hey, man, if we can raise a church like that, it's a church that will take the city. They don't ask questions. They just say yes. You know, in heaven, you know how it is in heaven? God sits on the throne. He rules. He reigns on that throne. There's angels around that throne. What are they doing around the throne? Worshipping. They're worshipping. And then God says, Gabriel, you need to go to Mary. And you know what? How long does it take him? A moment. And he's there. You don't say, hey, I just want to watch the Lions playing this game. Wasn't their day. But anyway, they did well to get there. I just want to watch the opening of the Olympic Games, man. You know, if God speaks, we need to go. When God speaks, we need to obey. And that's why children, they are the, you know, the most important in the kingdom. In the kingdom, they don't ask questions. When God speaks to them, you know what? When you say, do it like this, they say yes. It's when they get older when it becomes a different story. Okay, Joel 2, verse 28. I read it from the message. God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Everyone is included. No one is excluded. God says, I pour out my spirit. He says, your sons will prophesy, even your daughters. Look at the different generations. He says, your old men will dream dreams. Okay, looks to me, I'm the only old one. He says, your young men will see visions. God says, you know what? I want to empower my kids. I want to empower my kids. I want to, you know what? I want to do something with this church. Okay, spirit principle number 4. When the Spirit of God comes upon people, there is a definite manifestation in each generation. You know what? When the Spirit of God comes upon people, okay, there's a difference between the Spirit in me, because when I accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior, the Holy Spirit is already in me. But there's a difference, a working of the Spirit, when the Spirit comes upon me. You can go and make a study in the book of Acts. Because when the Spirit comes upon me, it is for empowering me to do His will. Are you guys still with me? The Spirit is to empower us. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, help me. He says, "The Heilige Geest zal oor julle kom en julle sal my getuies wees." The Spirit of God will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. So the Spirit empowers us for witnessing. Witnessing what? About Him. Witnessing what? About His kingdom. Witnessing about what? What He did in my life. I like the testimonies this morning, you know, because it, you know, it just charges our faith. And God wants us to be witnesses, because the Word of God says they have conquered Him. Let him overwin. They've conquered Him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Guys, there's power in your testimony. There's power. We need to have a testimony. We need to have a fresh testimony. Are you still with me? And it says, and they didn't love their lives. They were willing to give everything. Okay, so when God's Spirit comes upon his people, you know what? Something happens with you. God says there, your sons will prophesy. Are you still with me? Old men will dream. You know, they don't have dreams anymore. They just want to go and watch the sea, you know. See the waves coming in, you know, the tides coming in, coming out. No, no, he says, you know what? You don't retire in the kingdom, you refire. You still with me? And young men will see visions. They won't be clueless. They're going to say, yes, let's go for it. Let's build this thing, you know. Let's run with it. Are you still with me? Okay, so God wants to move by his spirit. He wants to empower the generations, because he's saying, not by power, not by might. It's not by natural means. It's like David when he stands before Goliath. You know, and then you can go and read it. 1 Samuel 17, I think it's 45, 46, 47. You know what? He tells, what's that guy there? Yes, the giant. You know what? He makes a confession of what he believes about this God that he serves. And you know, one of the things he told the giant, he said, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a dog. Like a sword, a spear, and a dog. He said, you are coming to me to conquer me in by ways of the natural. But I come to you in the name, the Lord of the angel armies. Okay. And you know what? And he also is the God of Israel's armies. You know what? David had a relationship with God. God met him on so many times. And you know what? Where God strengthens our faith is when we have trouble. Anyone that knows trouble? Anyone here? You know, trouble, hardship, difficulties. That's the times that God builds our faith. You want to ram the comrades? You need to do some bolted training. Hill training. Go up the hills. You know, because that will make you strong. And you know what? Troubles, hardship, even persecution, it will strengthen. What God wants people that can go out like David says, you know what, I come to you in the name of the Lord of the angel armies, the name of the Lord of the armies of Israel, and he will give you today in my hand. He was, you know what, he was saying what he believed about God. Every generation needs a touch of his spirit. 1 Samuel 10. Oh, and Samuel, he was a man of the spirit. Now, Samuel, what happens here is, let me just give you the background. God said to Samuel, I want you to go and anoint David as king. So what happened, you know, David wasn't invited to the party. He was still looking, you know, after his father's sheep, tending his father's sheep. And then they said, okay, eventually, you know, none of the sons qualified. They said, don't you have another son? Yeah, he's tending the sheep. Okay, just quickly go and get him. And when the boy came, God said to Samuel, this is the one. And then he anointed him. Then the Lord, he said, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. Now, I'm telling you a lekker far story. This is not the story. This is about Saul. And you guys don't help me. Okay. This is about Saul. Saul was with the prophets. Prophets are moved by the Spirit, and Samuel said, okay, Samuel is in this story. Samuel said to Saul, he said, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. So Saul, he came among the guys that prophesy. If you want to grow in your spirit, get to people who move in the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. I remember in our first church, you know, when we prayed before the service, we prayed for about, you know, maybe half an hour, I don't remember. But there was a lady, she could pray. You know what? I was still learning how to pray. She could pray. So that when we came together, you know, I just went and I stand so close as possible to her as I could. Because the spirit was so strong, you know, and I could pick up her spirit. And you know what, she, you know, when you stand close to her, you know, it's like there was, you know, she had faith, man. She built my faith. You know, she could trust God for stuff which I couldn't. But when I was close to her, you know, something happened. And there was a lot of prophets. Prophets are people, you know what, they speak by the Holy Spirit. You know, I don't know what they were doing, but Samuel said to Saul, if you come in their company, even you will start to prophesy. He says, and if it happened, he says, and then you will be turned into another man. Spirit principle number 5, the Holy Spirit works transformation. Holy Spirit changes people's lives. Albert, wat ek en jy nie kan doen nie, kan die Gees van God doen. We must trust God. You know what? We need to pray more. We need to pray more specifically. God, pray for this person. God, please change. I cannot change him. My theology can change no one. Everybody studies theology, and I don't have anything against theology. I have a degree in theology. But you know what? It is the Spirit of God that changes me. Not me. Jesus said, if you're not born again, by my Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom. And if you are not born by the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom. It is by the Spirit of God we become citizens of heaven. You need to be born. You need to be born again. The Holy Spirit works transformation. Okay, now we're with the David story. 1 Samuel 16. And as David, okay, stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil. Which the flask wasn't the flask, it was a shofar. The anointing oil was in the shofar. He had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. So Samuel came, he anointed David because Saul, let me just say this, Saul was anointed, he was transformed. But you know what? He lost it. He lost it. Why? Because of his disobedience. I had a, you know, someone who said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. It's not how you start this race. It's how you finish this race. You know what? Saul started off well. Samuel came. Samuel anointed him as king. He lost it. In the way he did things that wasn't God honoring. You know, at the end of his life, he built himself a monument. Okay, and I don't want to degrade him. I just said what the Bible tells us. Okay. So when Samuel anointed David, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Spirit principle number 6, the Holy Spirit empowers you for purpose. Not for goosebumps. For purpose. Because God was anointing David to be king. Samuel left, he went back to Ramah, that was his hometown, you know. Mission finished, and David, he didn't went to the throne. Nothing changed in his life. He went back to tend the sheep. But I believe it was in that season that his preparation to be king really, really started. I believe it was in that season, you know, as he was tending the sheep, that God started to give him revelation. And because of that revelation, he wrote Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. You know, he took his everyday circumstances, his everyday work, and he said, but this is what God is like. Wow, man, isn't that great? Isn't that great? It was in that season, I believe, that he met the lion, and he met the bear. You know what? He didn't run away. He didn't jump into the tree, find a branch, sit there and say, you know what? This is not my sheep. This is my father's sheep. You know, like it yet, Leo. You know what? God will always test you in the father's house. David was prepared in his father's house. David was prepared with what was not his own. Jesus, the same way. You know what? Where was his preparation? Carpenter shop. It's where you dame Rockslan with the hammer. You know what? That's where you hit your thumb with the hammer. You know, that's where misverstanden. Help me. Misunderstandings. You know, because his dad wasn't, you know, without sin. He was. And you know, if you have children, teenagers, you know, man. If you come in from a home, you know how many misunderstandings there are. Wat maak jy? O, excuse, okay, jy het dit bedoel nie. Okay, the trouble you are going through at this present moment is to prepare you, is to build your faith, to bring you to a place called trust. So that I can trust Him. So that I can trust Him with my life. So that I can say, God, you know what you are doing. You are working according to a plan. You are working according to a purpose. You are working towards destiny. And I choose to trust you. You can trust God. Esther trusted God. Daniel trusted God. The three friends, they trusted God. Moses, you know what? Moses says, by faith. By faith. Okay, Afrikaans. Het hy geweier om Farao se dogter se kind genoem te word. Wat's weier? He refused. Faith made him to refuse. We need that kind of faith. Faith that can say no. No to the world, but yes to God. No matter how bad the storm, how strong the gale force winds, how high the waves, Jesus is in the boat. Job. Must I mention Job here? 23, verse 40. He says, so he will do to me whatever he has planned. He controls my destiny. Guys, that is the language of trust. He controls my destiny. He's in charge of my life. You know what? God is in control. I think I must shut down here. Let me give you the last one. Then we can go for some celebrations. Luke 1:41. You know, we're talking about what the Spirit is doing. And guys, let me just say, the Spirit of God needs to be alive in our lives. Religion won't change you. It won't change people. It won't change your children. Theology, you know what? Religion, theology, you know what? They need to see that God is alive. They need to hear my first-hand testimonies, like the testimonies this morning, you know, what God did for us. But I'm going to finish here. Luke 1:41, what happened is that Mary, she went to her cousin's house, Elizabeth, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. And the word says, at the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what? The angel said to Mary, what is going to happen in you? The Holy Spirit will come over you. It will be a work of the Holy Spirit. And then Gabriel, he went to, what's that guy's name? Zechariah, is that right? Zechariah? Went to, you know, and said, you know what? He said to him, he said, your prayers are answered. This guy was like, guys, there are prayers that we pray, and sometimes, you know, because it don't happen, you put it, you know, next to file number 30, you put it in file number 12, you know, and they just forget it. But you know what? This guy was old. Elizabeth was old, you know. They thought, you know, it's not going to happen. And then he was on duty. He had to go on the, you know, in the holies. He had to go with whatever needs to be done in the holies. The incense. Yeah, incense is all about prayer. And while he went inside, you know what? the guys outside was praying. And so the angel came and the angel said, your prayer has been heard. And I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't put that dream in your God is alive. You know, there was a certain time for this to happen. Sometimes the timing needs to be perfect. For Jesus to come, the timing had to be perfect. The Romans had to rule. The Greek language needed to be the lingua franca of the time. And when Mary came, when she greeted Elizabeth, when she said, my cousin, how are you? The baby in her womb was already filled with the Holy Spirit. Because Mary was carrying the one, the Word, Jesus. And this little guy, he just leaped. Okay, I'm not a lady. You girls will know what I'm talking about. But he leaped. And the mom, she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Just like that. Guys, we need that. We need to stir each other's spirits, if I can say it like that. We need to do it. We need to challenge one another. We need to challenge one another to go forward. God has more for us. God has more for us. Guys, we must trust Him to increase our capacity. We must desire spiritual gifts. We must ask. And that word in the Greek, it actually means ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. You know what? Sometimes, you know, we just, it's not happening. But the 120, I don't know if they were 120 in the upper room when they started. Maybe they were just 12 or 15 or 20. But they started to pray. Because God's word to them was, wait. Somebody said, if you wait upon the Lord, it's not time wasted. So they wait. And they prayed. And they wait. And they prayed. And they said, hey Peter, you know what? You hate Jesus verloon. What's that word? You denied him. Sees for you, man. He even cursed. You cursed that servant that said you were one of them. He said, guys, I'm sorry. You know, I denied him. Please forgive me. You know, and I believe many of those stuff happened in that 10 days. Because they became a unity. And God works with His unity. God works where people are united. And it said, Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 4, it said, they were all together in one place, in one accord. All together in one place, in one accord, that God worked out His plan. And I believe God wants to empower us by His Spirit, to run with His purpose, to run with His destiny. Let me give you the last spirit principle. Holy Spirit dimensions are activated by your voice. Holy Spirit dimensions are activated by your voice. We need to use our voice. Jesus is, according to John 1, verse 1, He is, in the beginning was the We need to speak the word. You know what? When Mary, when she greeted her cousin, you know, we need to pray. We need to worship Him. Don't be shy of your voice. When we pray in tongues, use your voice. Because Holy Spirit dimensions are activated by your voice. Use your voice. They just stand together. They just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, we just thank You this morning. Just thank You, God, for this army that You are raising up here in Century City, God. And thank You, God, that You said to Gideon, you guys are too much. I want less of you because I want to do a humongous miracle among you, so that everyone will say it was God. Not how good the army was. And Father, thank you. Thank you that you are raising up people of the Spirit, God. Thank you that you are raising up people that are willing to obey you, that are willing to follow you, that are willing to trust you, God. Just sense, God, that you wanna instill, you wanna impart trust in your people, God. In your people trusting you. In your people saying, God, I'm willing to follow you. I'm willing to follow what you say in your word. I'm willing to follow you in my relationships. I'm willing to follow you in my marriage. I'm willing to follow you in my family. I'm willing to follow you with my future, God. I'm willing to follow you what my finances is concerned, God. I'm willing to follow you, God, in everything that I do. I'm willing to trust you, God, knowing that you know best for me, God. And we just thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God. Yes, if you're willing, if your heart's cry is, God, help me to trust you. So see, disciples who said, Here kom ons ongeloof te hulp. Say, God, help me with my little faith. Won't you just slip up your hand to me? Help me, God. I want to trust you, God. I want to run with you, God. Help me to obey you more, God. Oh, God, help me to follow the promptings of your Spirit more, Jesus. Yes. Thank you, God. Just keep it there. Just keep it there. Oh, Father. Yes, Father. Father, just thank you. Thank you for this people. Thank you for everyone that says, God, I want to. Please help me, God. Just pray, God, that everyone will experience a release of your Spirit, God. Will experience, God, the empowering of your Holy Spirit, God. I pray that everyone will experience your grace starting to work, God. Pray that everyone will experience that your Spirit works breakthrough in everyone. In Jesus' name. And we give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Guys, I think before we go and drink coffee, maybe I want to challenge the guys who put up their hands. Just sense God says, let's just pray together. Let's just agree together. Because the word says, if two of you agree, it will happen. So let's just, you know, just, ons maak hierdie ding in die gees van.